So we are doing a new series. We ended up prayer at our Thanksgiving celebration, which I appreciate that. I still, and there's something about just publicly talking about the things that God has done in our lives. And a lot of times we forget those things. And so last week was really a good week. It was a good week for me as just a reminder of what the Lord has done through the people in this congregation. And I'm excited. I mean, just a few minutes ago, somebody walked up and gave me an envelope knowing that I'm going to Zimbabwe and said, here, use this for them. You know, I mean, it's the little things like that that God is doing in the lives of people here, and it's really good for us to stop and reflect, and I appreciate last week. But today we do have a new series, and it is something we've never done before. Traditionally, ministers everywhere feel the pressure to begin and launch a Christmas series starting the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. For most places, it's a sure thing. We're going to talk about baby Jesus, and we're going to talk about his arrival into the world, and it's, you know, we try to say the same exact story different ways over and over and over again, and it's one of the most stressful times for ministers everywhere. And this year, as we were making plans for December, coming off of what we were hoping last week would be, we wanted to do something different. We wanted to come into December and challenge the church. Now, typically, you know, the way the church calendar goes, you have the Thanksgiving season, and so you talk about the attitude of gratitudes, and you have your Thanksgiving services, and then that rolls right into Christmas and the Christmas story, and then the first year of the year gets here, and we challenge you with New Year's resolutions and goals, and man, we want to really start out the new year on fire and try to gain some momentum. And we're like, well, let's not do that this year. Let's actually do that in December. Let's actually start challenging the church on some things that we as a leadership have been praying over, as we've been talking about as we go into 2020. Let's not wait until January to do it. Let's actually do that during December. Now, we're going to incorporate the Christmas theme into your presence here at church. Okay, I'll tell you this, at the end you're going to, and I'll explain this, but at the end you're going to get a gift. If you come every Sunday, you will get a gift every Sunday. Okay, we're going to still celebrate Christmas, and we're still going to get to the heart of it, but we wanted to challenge you. And so you see on the screen, it's the underlined words of, I will. And then we're going to talk about these 9 traits of the outwardly focused Christian. And that's the challenge. We're going to challenge you to become an outwardly focused Christian. Now, we're going to talk about this as this goes on, because you're like, well, I'm an introvert, so I don't want to be outwardly focused. I want to keep my world like right here, and I don't feel comfortable stepping out there. It doesn't have anything to do with your personality type, okay? It doesn't have anything to do with, do you feel comfortable being around crowds, or you're just a recluse and you'd rather stick to yourself and your people. That's not what an outwardly focused Christian is. We're not trying to turn you into something that you haven't been designed by the Creator to be. But here's the thing, as we are obedient to Jesus and we become more like Him, we're going to achieve this goal of being outwardly focused no matter what our personality types are. Okay? So that's the challenge, and we're gonna unpack it this week. We're gonna talk about these 9 traits, and we're going to direct this to you personally, but really and truly it's to the corporate gathering. It's to LifeBridge, the church. Do we have the 9 traits of outwardly focused Christians instilled in who we are? Now, we always begin this journey on the personal level because for us as a church, That's the most important marker of spiritual health. Are the individuals maturing personally? If we gather together and we take our resources and we do some cool things in the community and we support some overseas missions and we preach and we teach and we do some things, but there's no genuine us drawing closer to God. If there's no me becoming more like Jesus in my personal walk, are we really and truly being successful? Because it's been proven, we could roll out some fog machines, paint the walls in here, become a little bit hipper. We can get some bright lights. You know, we can do some things and draw a crowd. But are we really and truly becoming closer in our walk with the Lord? Are we becoming more like Jesus personally? And for us as a leadership, that's what's most important. Our vision is that we bridge the gap between you and God. That's the vision. We want to look at the individual lives and say, you know what? We can see the fruit where this person made personal sacrifices, where this person did this to draw closer to God. That's our vision. And so the challenge to you during this series is for you to become more outwardly focused, and that begins on a personal level. And so what we mean by that is that we're going to do a better job of focusing on others more. Now, when we talk about focusing on others, Jesus is really clear when it comes to love. He tells us that we're to love our neighbors, ourselves, love our enemies. And when we talk about love, we often forget that he says this in his teachings about love. Because what credit is it to you if you only love the people who love you back? What credit to you is that? I mean, that's easy. Hey, loving my little family, that's easy. On their worst days, that's easy to do. And I'm sure it's the same with you. It's easy for you to love these people that we share a home with. But then, Jesus says, if you really want to show you what love is, you're going to love the unlovable. You're going to love the people who are different from you. You're going to love the ones that have a different behavior, that grew up differently. You're going to love the ones that think differently than you. You're going to love the ones whose college team is a different color than yours. That's all I'm saying. I actually wrote in political statements. That was the Spirit telling me to change it, but that's it. You're going to love people who are different. You're going to love the unlovable. Like that's the true mark, Jesus says, of this agape love that we're to have for others. And so when we talk about outwardly focused Christians, we're talking about focusing on others more. Doing what I can do to have a greater impact on pointing or leading other people to Jesus, even though I may not have a great relationship with them. Even though I may not necessarily like them, but they're in my world. So we've planned this series also to follow the radical series that our life groups are in. Now, if you're not in our life group, you're missing it, and you don't know what we're talking about. But our life groups are in a series called Radical right now. The conversations that we are having in these groups are very challenging. They're challenging us to question our own faith and how we have turned inward in a lot of regards, and how we as a church focus on us as a church and not the world, the billions of people who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we want to become more outwardly focused, because there is a world of people out there. There's a world of people out there who do not have a relationship with God. Man, they live in rebellion right now. And if we believe what he says in these words, if we take this and we believe what he says about it, there are people who are going to hell for eternity. And so the challenge then is for us to become more outwardly focused, where we have a desire for these people. We've got four of us going to Zimbabwe. And one of them, two of them, it's their first trip. One of them, it's first mission trip. And he sent this text message the other day to our group as we were making plans. And he sent some emoji, I think it was a head slap or something, or whatever it was, that, or GIF or whatever those things are. We're head slap, and he's like, it just hit me. He goes, we're going to have church leaders from all over Zimbabwe, and we're going to have the opportunity to change the entire continent of Africa. It's like, slow down a little bit. Let's reel that in some. We're going to have about 30-something churches represented from about a 100-mile radius of Mashoko, a very small portion of, and we're talking about churches that have 10 to maybe 20 people in it, right? We're talking about bush churches. We're talking about churches that they, you know, some of their members have never been to Harare and the big cities and those types of things. So let's just focus on that region. You know, let's just focus right here, and we'll gradually move to the rest of the continent, okay? But let's not be overwhelmed by this. And so, we've kind of we've had some fun with that. But when it comes to us, to you and I, in this series and what we're doing, we're not challenging you to go change the world. As you become outwardly focused, we're not challenging you to change the entire world. We're challenging you, though, to change the world in which you live, the people who come into your world, the people who you associate with, the people who you see on a regular basis. This isn't a, we're going to take over the world, we're going to change Decatur. This is a, you know what, guys? Each and every one of you have relationships in which you live. Each and every one of you have people that come across your path on a regular basis that live in rebellion to God. What can we do to impact those lives? That's the challenge of this series and where we're going. And I want to tell you, I want to remind you that part of what we pray for on Tuesday nights is that we're praying for God to convict or encourage or guilt, not guilt, but convict or encourage at least 15 people in this faith family to invite someone into a conversation about God, inviting them to church between now and December 24th. It's not just about, hey, let me invite, you know, the guy I see that operates the gas station to come to church, but it's about, let me get into a relationship and let me really have God-centered conversations. We're praying for that. So if you're feeling some convictions, listen, it's God. So as we get into this, it's not going to just be about here's 9 traits. Everything's going to have a biblical foundation that we talk about. And so here's the text that's going to shape and drive this this journey for the next 9 weeks. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians 2nd chapter. And we're going to use, as we get into the different traits, we're going to use different verses, obviously, but this is going to be the one that kind of pushes us. And I'll tell you this, is going to be, it says 9, we're not going to hit all 9. You'll see why as this is unfolded in the weeks to come. But this is going to carry us into January. I'm excited. Other people are going to preach. Ed's going to preach for me in a couple weeks. Joe's going to preach in January. So other people are going to be coming into this. And then we've got a follow-up series that we're going to come right out of in January into February. Okay? So we're going to be here for a while. So here it is. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Read it with me, or read it as quietly as I read it. Don't be selfish. I know I just butchered that. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. God, I just pray over that text right now. Lord, I know that I have so many seasons of life where every one of those sentences speaks to me. And so, God, for the next 10 minutes, as we just kind of talk about this on a personal level and a corporate level, Lord, I pray for the power that's in your word to meet us where we are right now. God, I pray about the relationships in our lives that can change because of this. I think about the marriages. I think about the work relationships. I think about the family dynamic as a whole. And the relationships that are splintered, that healing can take place through the words that we just read. And so, Lord, your word tells us that your word teaches us, it corrects us, it encourages us. And so may these verses meet us right where we are. And I pray these things in your son's name again. Amen. Do not be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And so the first trait that we talk about, of the first trait of an outwardly focused follower that we're going to talk about, is our attitude. Now here's the thing about the church, and we've done a series on the church of Philippi. Paul is writing to what is considered the healthiest of the churches. It's one of the ones that he had a hand in starting. I mean, this church is a church that's a model for other churches to become like. He loved this church. He loved the sacrifice that went into starting this church, the people who had a hand in it. I mean, this is the one church that he's got nothing but positive things to say. And you don't have to get too far into his letter to them where he's, hey, you, church, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Because when you look at some of the other churches, they had a problem with that. So don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Hey, be humble. Think of others as better than yourself. Don't look for your own interest, but take an interest in others. And so I challenge you to look at this list and let how you live your life filter through verses 3 and 4. I mean, these instructions are imperative if we are to become like Jesus, if we really and truly want to bridge the gap. If we really want to become and draw closer to God, we must filter our lives, our speech, our actions, our behavior through this list. Don't be selfish. Am I being selfish? Are my actions selfish right now? Don't try to impress others. I had a story I was going to tell about my childhood and trying to impress a girl, but I'll hold that out for some other time. Be humble. Think of others. Are my actions, am I thinking, do I think of other people as better than me? I mean, don't look, Michael, to your own interest, but take an interest in others. Man, I got a confession about this trip coming up. This thing's been on the docks. This trip this year was supposed to be last year. And because of disease and everything last year, it didn't work out. And we were supposed to, Joe was going to go with me last year, and we had a different plan, and I mean, we had, and it didn't work. And then I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I have not been looking forward to next Sunday and leaving. I haven't been. And I'll tell you, as I've been studying this and reading this for the past 10 days, that part of this verse has been stepping all over my toes. Because my interests are here in the things that I want to do. My interests are, it's Christmas, and my family will tell you that I'm not the most sentimental. I'm not the most festive. But I'd much rather be here during this season than anywhere else. And Paul's like, you cannot, you must not look to your own interest, but take an interest in others. And so when I filter my actions and behavior and my thoughts through this list, it kind of gets me. It's like, hold up, Michael. Are you really desiring to become like Jesus? And so we start this list with meeting you personally, but what about the corporate gatherings? What about if they talked about LifeBridge collectively? What would they say about us? Hey, when we show up on Sundays together, or we show up to events, are we ever selfish? We had a ministry that we were associated with, and I say we, Amanda and I, and it was a First Christian Church. It was an FCC church, and it seriously had the reputation of being the first country club of city, and it was all about the members only, because it was all about the members only. Are we selfish? Do we as a church ever try to impress others? Is there a sense of arrogance? Do we ever think that, hey, we are better than other people? Do we ever just look to our own interest? Because the truth to these answers is found in how we answer those on a personal level. Like, if we're going to talk about the church collectively, if we're going to talk about us collectively and how we answer those questions, it really and truly has everything to do with how you answer that on a personal level. Because if I'm selfish or arrogant at home and at work Monday through Saturday, it's not going to magically change when I show up to church on Sunday. I'm all of a sudden, because I'm not here, I'm suddenly, when we get a bunch of selfish people together, you know what we have? A bunch of selfish people together. So when we talk about that from a corporate level, it has everything to do with what's happening to me personally. Tell me if you recognize any of the statements on this list. Have you ever heard these things before? I'm not getting spiritually fed here. I didn't like the music today. Hey, I think the sermon's too long. My needs are not being met. I'm not trying to gossip, but did you know about? Hey, I think the church needs to do this. I really can't help with that because. Hey, why don't y'all do something about this issue? And my favorite that has been spoken to me in this building. I don't like the donut selection. We're familiar with these and other statements like them because we say them. And here's the thing about this. Every single one of those common statements made in church, they are selfish in nature. Now, I want to be clear on something. Okay, I want you, please hear this. If you have an issue with something that I am doing or something that the church leadership is doing, or if you see something wrong with one of our services that does not honor God, then I beg you, please, come and talk with me or Joe, or go talk with Joe or someone from our leadership team about that. Because this is more serious than what we think. As a leadership team, we have a deep desire to meet needs. Okay, it's a critical part of being a shepherd. Like, I know that I am going to be judged one day based on the efforts of how I shepherded the church. And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I do not believe that I'm the only shepherd. I do believe that I am to create an environment where everyone is getting shepherded. That is what is supposed to be taking place. And so if there's needs within the church and those needs are not being met, then I beg you, please come and talk to one of us about it. All right, we want to hear that. But church, you got to know that if you walk out of these doors and you're sitting there on the ride home and it's just you and your family in the car and you start complaining or griping or nitpicking what took place on Sunday, or you didn't like the way something was, church, I'm here to tell you that that is sin. And when we start making things all about our own personal preference, that is sin. And we've got to be aware of that. We've got to be reminded of that. Paul actually tells us a few sentences later from this that we are to do everything without complaining or arguing. Everything. I began a home remodel last week. I don't think home remodels are included in everything. Especially when the snake skin came out of the wall. Yeah, my wife's already got a for sale sign up. Guys, we're supposed to do everything without complaining or arguing. And so then you combine what that habit of complaining and arguing with my own selfish desires and what I want and how I think things ought to be done. We are now living in sin, and we have to be aware of it because it's become so commonplace that we overlook this. We're going to gripe and complain about the lines at church, or I mean at lunch, and they're like, "And I know what you're thinking. Well, if you hurry up, we don't have to sin. So I'm going to hurry up. Right here it is." The question then is, how do I do this, Michael? Like, let's get to that point. How do I pull this off? How am I supposed to live my life in a manner that's not selfish, is not arrogant, is not showy? Because that's what Paul's text does. And we're talking about our attitude. And one of the 9 traits of an outwardly focused Christian, if that's what you want us to become, how am I supposed to do this? Well, verse 5 tells us what we're to do. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now let me pray over you, and you guys go have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. The attitude of Jesus is one that says, I'm willing to give my life up for others. I don't know what it was like. But was there a conversation that took place between God and Jesus at some point in time that said, they need a perfect sacrifice? Maybe it was just ingrained in the very nature of Jesus and they never even had to talk about it. But I know what Romans tells us, that while we were sinning, He sent His Son to die on the cross. Like at some point in the history of mankind, it was, okay, we've been doing it this way for a season. It's now time to bring in Jesus to be the ultimate final sacrifice needed. I mean, we got to wrap our mind around that. That at somewhere along the way, Jesus said, I will go and die for you. And so we're told that we are to have the attitude of Jesus, one that sent him to the cross for others. That's the attitude that you and I are to have for one another. And so I filter my actions, my behavior, my speech. I filter those things through this list. It helps me to develop a similar attitude to that of Jesus. Now, that's a simple plan, right? Like, I mean, that's not complex. Just, hey, filter my actions through that. But it's hard to live, isn't it? It's hard for me, who's naturally selfish, to sit here and say, well, no, that's not a selfish motive. Jesus would want this because of this. The execution of that plan is a little more difficult. So here's the best way for you to have the same attitude of Christ, and that is for you to allow someone to speak into your life. That's the secret. You want to develop this attitude of Jesus Christ. You don't want to be selfish. You don't want to be showy. You want to start considering others. You allow someone to speak into your life. And I'm not talking about your uncle that you only see at Thanksgiving. Hey, uncle, will you speak into my life? Because I'm not going to see you again for 9 months. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you give someone in your life the freedom to say, you know what, that is very selfish. Hey, can I tell you about this, your speech right now? Can I tell you how your speech is coming across? Guys, we were meant to be in relationship with one another. The very first tension in all of humanity was man is alone. And man by himself can still be selfish. He can still live for himself and not for me. So you know what man needs? Man needs someone else in his life to come alongside him and help him out. That's what we were created to have, people in our lives that speak to us and can tell us the truth about our actions, about our attitudes, and about our behavior. This is best done, I believe, in a discipling relationship. If you really desire to become like Jesus and you really desire to have his attitude, you need someone who can let you know when you are living in sin. And here's the second part of what we need to do. It's not just about giving someone the freedom to speak into my life. As they point out to you times that your attitude slips into the worldly attitude that we are naturally drawn to, we also need to repent. Like we only talk about repentance for some reason when someone's ready to like get baptized. And hey, you got to repent of your sins. Now get baptized, because that's what Peter said. Repent and be baptized. And then we don't bring it up anymore. But repentance is acknowledging that I have sinned, that I've just sinned, and that this action is sin or this speech is sin, and I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And so if this is sin over here, I'm not going to do that anymore. And we fail to bring repentance into the equation of becoming like Jesus. When I am selfish, I am sinning. When I'm trying to impress others, when I'm being showy, I am sinning. And the proper response to sin is always repentance. And so, as I have someone speak into my life, and as I start to repent of these things, behavior starts to change. thoughts start to change, as my attitude becomes more like Christ Jesus on a regular basis, you cannot help but to become an outwardly focused Christian. That's where we're going with this. This whole thing is about us becoming more obedient in our personal walk. We just have it packaged a little bit differently today. That's ultimately what my life is about, is becoming like you, Jesus, while I'm on this earth. And so my prayer is that you join us. So the spirit of Christmas, as we've said each week, leading up to Christmas, we have a small gift for you and your family. Today, it is just for your family. One for your family. You can take what we have. You can share it. All right? We have gifts in the coming weeks that are for each individual of all ages. But today, it's for you and your family. And so outside, on your way out in the foyer, there's a table set up, and you can't help but notice there's bags. Ask that you grab one. Now, I will tell you that this whole gift idea is Michael's. It's all mine. But I say that because you can ask the people in my world, when it comes to gifts, I'm a practical gift giver. If it doesn't serve a purpose, if it's just for pure entertainment and not going to help us, then we don't need it. Right? And so the gifts given are in some way, at least from the heart, hoping that it will help you in your faith, helping you with your journey. Okay? Merry Christmas. We're going to have fun this series. I'm looking forward to lavishing gifts upon one another. I'm looking forward to seeing what God does in your life as we embrace and take on these 9 traits. God, it's that simple. Do not be selfish. Do not try to impress others. Think of others before we do ourselves. God, it's simple and it's straightforward, but yet we still struggle with it. And so, Father, these two simple things of bringing someone into my life that I give permission to, repenting of the wrong, repenting of the sin in my life, God. But I think about that personally, Lord, and I think about the relationships that can be healed in my own life if I start doing this. And if I truly am concerned about others and I truly want to be outwardly focused and focused on others, Father God, I cannot do that without the attitude of Jesus Christ in my life. And so, Father, help me, help us to become more like Jesus. May our attitudes reflect Him. We love you, God. Once again, we ask these things in your name. Amen.